Let's pray. Father, the song invites us to do what I also invite us to do, to come and see. Those of us who are here, perhaps we've been invited by someone else and they've asked us maybe many times to come and see. And the invitation stays open. Come and see what Christ has done. I stand here today. And many are in this room because of an amazing work of Christ in their life. Come and see. See what that Savior has done in transforming us. Look and see what he has done, what signs he has left for us. Come and see. Father, help us. Help us to see. Open your word. Open our hearts. Open our ears. Lord, would we come and see tonight? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to share with you what is not a traditional Christmas passage, but it is what's called the prologue to John's Gospel, and actually just the first five verses of that prologue, and we're going to look at that, and it'll be up on the screen for you, but if you'd like to follow along with us, there's chair Bibles, and on those chair Bibles, it's found on page 739, and we're looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'd like you to follow along as I read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word of the Lord. Those who are regular participants here at Plymouth Alliance know I like to have participation from you, let me know that you're there, you're tracking with me kind of thing. First one's really easy, it's just a show of hands. I'm curious, how many of you have a 100-year life plan? Okay, Okay, so I want to see it afterwards. Okay, how many of you have a 50-year life plan? I should say written down or something, right? How many of you have a 10-year plan? 10-year life plan, a few of us. How many of you have a 5-year plan? A few of us, but not very many, right? So here's the deal. We don't have 5-year plans, and I'm about to try and talk to you about eternity. I mean, good luck, Gary. You know, we don't think about 5 years, but you're trying to get us to think about eternity. How would you like to change places with me? But the idea is we want to think about eternity because, for instance, these two guys, they came together and they became workout partners and they really encouraged each other on and they got really fit and, you know, they were just really going at it and they ate well and they kept each other accountable to it and they were just incredible shape. And they both died in a common accident, got up to heaven, they're walking around and they're looking at heaven. I don't know if it looks like that, but that's a pretty good place to be walking around and they're going, this is awesome. I mean, look at that. This is awesome. Look at that. Look at this. Oh, I had no idea heaven was going to be this good. And the other guy looks at him and says, yeah, and if we hadn't eaten all that bran and exercise so much, we could have been here 10 years ago. The people who wrote the New Testament, they're just like you and me. They too dealt with all the stress of the holidays. I mean, think about it. They didn't get to go in cars. They had to go in donkeys or walk. They dealt with all the stuff and all the stress of the holidays. And, you know, that too, they had their weird cousins who'd show up at the door too. And, you know, they looked around and they had to deal with the obnoxious sister-in-law and they were concerned with making the mortgage payments and they wondered if they'd catch enough fish to replace the sandals that were wearing out on the kids. And they were dealing with all the everyday, day in, day out stuff that you and I deal with. They weren't really thinking about eternity. And then Jesus shows up. He walks into their life. And he begins to talk to them about eternity. And he causes them to come face to face with the reality and the questions of all eternity. And so we deal with this eternity stuff. What if it's true? If so, what is it? And then a very important question, so what? So what? So let's look at that, eternity. What is it? I want you to remember, and it's really important that you grab this. The guy who wrote this, the Gospel of John, his name was John, and he was just a guy. And he hung out every day with Jesus for 3 years, perhaps a little more. He ate with him. He hiked with him. He walked with him. He watched him, you know, do this and do that, and he hung out with him. He really did know Jesus. He understood who he was. Now, I want to say this and give a compliment back to you as a congregation, that you are very complimentary. It's amazing to me some of the very nice things that you say about me. But if you got to know me a little bit better, you would realize I'm not that good. I mean, just ask my family and you'd know. Now, what if people began to be so complimentary that they started calling me God? It wouldn't take very long before everybody would be saying, I know, Gary, that ain't true. That is not true. But look at what this guy who lived with Jesus and watched him and hung out with him all the time. Look what he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, when it says Word and it's capitalized there, it's speaking of Jesus. We don't actually have that revealed until the 14th verse, where he very specifically says, and the Word became flesh. So we know that he's talking about God becoming flesh. He's talking about Jesus. But it wasn't just these guys who hung out with Jesus who said this about him. Jesus said this very same thing about himself. John records it in John chapter 17, verse 5. Look what he says about himself. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Who says that kind of stuff? Who can say that this person existed before the world began? Jesus said, I was alive. I lived. I was here before the world ever existed. You see, eternity is existence beyond this material reality of time and space. That's what it is. It is existence beyond the reality of this material time and space that we live in the midst of. But eternity is also about the physical reality. Notice verse 3. Through him all things were made. Now, again, picture this. These New Testament writers, they lived with Jesus, and that they wrote this about him, and they're saying to us, he spoke and atoms and atmosphere came about. People and planets exist because he decided that they should exist. Molecules and Mars came because of the power of his words. Notice what verses 3 and 4 say. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Our series has been in Advent about light, and he is the light. All mankind owe their existence to this Jesus. He lit up life. He is eternal. Now, the people who wrote these books, you can go back and study the evidence. And there's all kinds of evidence that a lot of those books were around, and they were widely circulated, and many people had read those books and seen them, and they knew this Jesus. And if it wasn't true what they were saying about him, they could have called out, lie. Just like you would say that if somebody decided to say that I was God. You would be able to be interviewed and say, oh no, he's not that good. He's not God. And so could they. But it didn't happen. In fact, those people died for that truth. And the evidence is manifold that he really did do all those things. They saw it. They touched it. They observed it. They told it over and over again at great cost. They were skeptics just like us. They were going through life just like us, and suddenly this broke in upon them. The reality of this, that Jesus exists. Now let me demonstrate the question that's before us with a little bit of a story. I don't know if you know who Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak are. If you don't know who Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak are, I think you maybe have heard of the company they started. It's called Apple. Now, many of us, however, don't know the other guy there in the middle, Ronald Wayne. Did you know that Ronald Wayne started Apple along with Jobs and Wozniak? That he was involved at the very early stages of the forming of Apple Corporation. He got started. He did their first logo, not the one that they ended up going with, but he was very involved and he was there. But he ended up in 1976, right after they incorporated and he signed on the dotted line, he ended up getting nervous about the fact that he was going to be responsible for the debts of this crazy company that they were trying to start. So he sold his 10% share in it. Here's the signed agreement for $800. Today, those 10% share of Apple would be worth $70 billion. Worth far more than that is the cost of eternity. Is the price that will be paid if we don't trust and believe in what Christ has done. He didn't believe in the company. He didn't believe in the concept and idea. And you have the right to not believe in this light that has been transforming people all over the globe. But please understand, you do so at great cost. Eternity is real. What if it's true? The reason these eyewitnesses said this stuff about Jesus is because they watched him calm a sea. They were blown away. They watched him raise a dead guy and then tell them that he was going to die and raise again 3 days later. Who does that? And why did he do it? He did it to secure your eternity. He came to tell us about eternity and to go there and prepare it for us. Eternity exists, and eternity exists either with Jesus for all of eternity in heaven, or it exists in constant, physical, actual torture for all eternity. Eternity exists. So we come to the second part, the very important question, so what? The interesting thing about eternity is that it isn't just that I'm trying to help you to understand what's going to happen after this life, although that's a very important part of what I'm doing. But I want you to understand that in addition to that, it does transform my today. When I understand what my eternity is about, it transforms what I'm about in my life now. It gives me a sense of purpose and an understanding of what I'm all about, what my life is for, why I exist. John told us that Jesus is the light of all mankind. And John now says in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now there's a double meaning in that does not overcome it phrase. First of all, we know, if you've ever gone into a dark place, did you ever turn on your flashlight, like when the power is out, and find, wow, it doesn't actually, the light came on, but the darkness kind of overpowered it. Have you ever seen that happen? It can't happen, right? Darkness can't hold back light. It never happens. Light always overcomes. It always penetrates darkness. There is no darkness that can hold light back. But what is also saying in that idea of overcoming, and what the word said is, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness doesn't overcome it. That is, overcome means comprehend. Darkness has not comprehended the light. You see, because it's communicating the moral choice that human beings get, that we are a people of darkness. And if we choose not to comprehend light, we will stay in darkness. And it is by our choice that we do that. It is our opportunity, and that's what's communicated in the verse, that you are not perceiving it, that you're not choosing it, that you're not choosing to give yourself to that light. Now, I know that when you come tonight to a Christmas Eve service, you really don't want to address it. What we prefer is a real nice, feel-good sermon, and let me go on with my great Christmas celebration. I get that. But let me help you engage why we should do this and why it's so important. And to do so, I want to actually take you like to the store, whether it's a grocery store, Target, Walmart, whatever, and you go into the store, right? And you've run around the store, and you've got all your stuff, and you've put it into your cart, and you come out, and I don't know if it really lines up this way, but you come out of aisle C, and what you do is you go right into the row of checkout aisle C, right? Is that what you do? Come on, work with me here. Do you? No, you don't do that. What you do is you come out, and you look this way, don't you? And then you look this way, don't you? And you look around, come on. Do you? And then you look over and there's three carts and there's four carts and then there's two carts and there's two carts. And so you start going that way, right? And then what do? You look at those carts, don't you? Come on. You look at those carts. Tell me you don't. You look at those carts. This one's really full and that one's not so full. Where do you go? You go to line A, where this is only half full. Okay, now think about all of that process. Looking this way, looking this way, figuring this out, going around. How much time did you save? 2 minutes? You put all that work into saving just 2 minutes. We're talking here about all of eternity. If it's that important to save 2 minutes, how important is it for you to consider all eternity? Please give this consideration. Our impatience in this life gives little thought to eternity, and we tend to ignore it. It is our bent toward darkness. We don't consider it. We don't look at it. But I want to shine light on this with you tonight. Will you consider it? Will you think about it? We are bent away from the light. Think about it. I mean, who told you and who taught you how to lie? To be selfish. To want your own way. I'm bent toward darkness. I tend to go that way. In short, our bent is away from God, not toward Him. Many of us have little idea of the importance that this brings into things like this by considering eternity. We just don't think about it in our everyday life. Please think about it. Because what's going on in the core of our being and that bent away is really a pollution that's deep in the moral fabric of our being. It is a microbiological, deeper than that, it is an incredibly deep pollution. So can I talk to you about that pollution that the Bible calls sin? In order to do that, I want to give you a little demonstration. And, you know, how many of you would drink that water? You don't want to drink that water, huh? So, you know, I know that you don't want to drink that water. But in fact, Kim and I, as many of you are aware, we like to go backpacking. We go out in the backcountry a lot. And even though you have this great clear water that comes from that beautiful, pristine lake, if you actually take that lake water and put it underneath a microscope, that's what it looks like at a microbiological level. There's all kinds of stuff in there that'll get you bad. There's all kinds of things. We won't talk about all the details of them, but they're not fun and they're not nice. But you might not know that we backpackers have this cool little thing called a SteriPen. And you take that SteriPen, you just push the button, and you take it and you dunk it into that water and it turns on that little light there. And you can sit there and you just stir that little light in that water that you just dipped out of that lake with all those amoeba and all that bacteria and all those viruses in there. And you can just keep stirring it around and putting that light in there. And all those little boogers in there are getting killed right now. They're dying. So that you can actually take it out and now they're gone. They don't survive. It's called the purifying power of light. And it really does work. The light purifies. There's actually a lot of ways to purify water. There's only one way to purify sin, and it is with the light of the world. And there's no other way. That bent to darkness is only dressed by one person, who is God become flesh, who came to dwell among us, to give himself for us. There's only one way to treat the sin that is so deep buried in me. It's at the very core of my being, and it's a surrender to the light of the world. The Christmas story, this story is about God who came to be light and to plan for himself, to offer himself, to purify us from our sinful and selfish ways for all eternity. Now, you might be having a reaction to some of the things I've said, like just that one, this sinful selfishness. But understand, that's because of our proclivity to darkness. We think of ourselves as being pretty good. In other words, we will compare our glass of water to that really obviously looking dirty water. But at the microbiological level, at the very deep core of who we are still sinners. We still have death within. Don't just look in a comparison and think that that's going to address it. Just because you can't see the depths of that bacteria doesn't mean it's not there. The light of Jesus can shine in your life right now, but not if you think you're good enough, or that you think you're okay, or you think you don't need the treatment of his light. You do. You do. There's no other way to deal with that pollution of sin. Will you let his light shine on you today? Now, I want to make that offer to any of you who've maybe never done that for a first time, and I'm going to pray for you in a minute. But for the rest of us, we've been working at celebrating this light idea, and we want to continue to refresh and do that. And one of the ways we're doing it is to remember that not only did Jesus come and shine that purifying light, but he wants to shine it through us as he continues to purify and change us. So whether you made that decision 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 decades ago, I want to tell you and remind you, ready? That you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do we light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, we put it on a stand that it may shine light to all the household. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Be the light of the world. When Jesus showed up, those folks faced the reality of an eternity because he was right there before them, and we shine the light on that story tonight to say he's right before you right now. Many people around this world believe that this is true. What if it is? What if it really is true? We want to encourage you to consider the transforming power of light that can be seen all around us and be the people who are spreading that light to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus, the light of the world, the creator of all of the heavens and earth, came to this earth, and he did it so miraculously. He did it to tell us of our need, but to give a solution to that need. I pray for any who don't know the transforming work of life, light, to pay for the penalty of their sin. Would today be the day that that light shines in their life? And for those of us who've been walking in that light for a time, would you continue to help us to know the incredible transforming power of that light? And would we be shining it forth to many others? Father, thank you for the opportunity of being able to demonstrate that now in this service. We pray you would make this candle lighting ceremony part of our service to remind us afresh of what a great work you have done in Jesus and you want to do in and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.